This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, candidates on the campaign trail as the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary approach. Congress wraps up for the year, and Time magazine names its man of the year, Vladimir Putin. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
By the way, skunked again by Time magazine, weren't you?
Yeah. Very good.
Well, we'll get him next year. Listen, we're at the end of the first year of the 110th Congress, a Democratic majority in both houses for a year now. Yep. What kind of results do you see?
Well, for the Democrats, a little disappointing. When a year ago they did so well in the off-year election because of the Iraq war, I imagine they came in and said, now we're going to really do something to get our troops back. And they tried very hard, attaching little amendments to bills here and there. Mm-hmm. And they never quite made it. And you ask why they didn't quite make it, because, first of all, things began to get a little better in Iraq, and so the American public seemed to be sort of less upset about it on a day-to-day, and the economy began to get worse. Mm-hmm. And between a rising situation in Iraq and a sinking situation in our economy, the attention began to shift. The result was that the Democrats found they was totally, totally unable to make hay from the Iraq situation.
Let me ask you about this. Several investigations have been opened into the destruction of CIA interrogation videotapes,
yes.
One by the Justice Department, a couple of others in the House and the Senate.
Right.
President Bush said this week that he is going to reserve judgment until the investigations are complete.
He always does.
How far along are the investigations, and do you think we can fairly say we know much so far?
We don't, but I think we very soon will. The CIA has promised to cooperate with congressional investigations, and now the subpoena is being issued for Jose Rodriguez, who was the head of clandestine operations, the one primarily responsible for having destroyed those tapes. Shortly after New Year, he apparently is coming up under a subpoena, mm-hmm. and since he was the one who basically did it, he cannot say, as the president said, I only just learned about it.
Of course, this nicely introduces the campaign. We're not that far away from January 3rd Iowa caucuses. The New Hampshire follows just a few days later. This is the time between the end of the debates and people actually getting to cast votes. How do you assess where the candidates stand now?
It's very hard to assess. By the time you've assessed, it's changed again. But apparently, we used to think several weeks ago at least, or a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. that it was all set in the cards. Hillary Clinton had it more or less locked up, and Giuliani had it locked up on the Republican side, mm-hmm. and then things began to happen, and the people who had locks on things suddenly lost their locks on things, and it began to be a real horse race, both among Democrats and Republicans. I would hesitate at this point to say how it's going to come out, because it has terrible fluid quality of changing almost every week, as though Americans who were involved in some spectator sport trying to arrange to see little surprises here and there to keep us interested.
Mm. I want to hearken back, though, to something you mentioned just a couple minutes ago. Are we seeing any effect driven by the fact that, at least according to polls, the economy has now supplanted concern about Iraq as the number one concern?
Well, that's right. The Democrats have had to learn that it is no longer true that the number one item for the attention of Americans is the Iraq war. They've shifted now to something closer to home, and that is a shaky economy.
I mean this absolutely seriously. With the advantage of a few days' hindsight, is the campaign any different now because of the Writers Guild strike and the fact that late-night comedians have not been on the air lampooning politicians?
That's right. I mean, each has to do his and her own lampooning. That's an interesting question. I begin to think that more and more Americans form their opinions from where they get on these funny late-night shows. And I just wonder whether it may turn out, we won't know till after it's all over, that because of the writer's strike, this one or that one got more votes than the other.
Because now what's perceived to be a silly remark doesn't get the kind of attention that it would have a few weeks ago.
That's right. You can only get it now and then on Sunday mornings.
All right. Time magazine named Vladimir Putin its man of the year.
Yes.
Your reaction and reflection, please.
Well, I love the Time headline, A Tsar is Born. But I'm happy to be able to say that the fact that Time names him Person of the Year does not mean they necessarily approve of him, mm-hmm. since at various times they've had a Man of the Year named Hitler and a Man of the Year named Stalin and the Ayatollah Khomeini. Mm-hmm. But surely he's a consequential figure. President Bush said, consequential to what end. He's brought instability at the price of freedom. I must mention, though it may seem like a parochial thing to say, that 88 journalists have been killed in Russia. That puts them right after Iraq on the country where more and more journalists get killed. I may have a certain vested interest there, but it tells you a lot about what Tsar Putin's Russia is like today.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure thing.